what you're going to hear in the course of today is kind of, we're using business process analysis as a way of beginning to describe how this tool can inform the work kind of across the continuum from understanding what the work is that a local health department does, all the way to describing standards and functions that can be supported by vendors. And so you're going to get a range of descriptions of what business process is, what business process analysis is. But what you're really going to be hearing is the different ways in which this tool is used to communicate from the front line program person that's actually doing the work of public health on the street, all the way back to a vendor who's trying to write some software to support it, at least we hope. In my presentation, I'm going to basically be talking to you about what the value of business process analysis is in a local health department. I'm going to be giving you examples from our experience. I will warn you that if you're wedded to a particular methodology or way of doing it, you're going to be disappointed. My particular perspective is that this tool is a fundamental tool that I use in our department. The number one reason I use the tool is it enables me to get people to communicate what's important about what they do from the point of view of sharing information, coordinating programs, building support systems, analyzing, you know, human resources, and I will use any piece of it at any given point in time in any way that seems to facilitate the discussion or the negotiation that's going on at that point in time. And yet, the information that ultimately comes out of that gives me tools for analysis, categorization, sorting, and bringing information back to people so they can see. Marcy was talking the other day about their experience in Delaware, and she said something I really liked. We are more similar than we are different. And sometimes it's really important to help people experience that, not so much to say it to them, but help them experience it. Because if I've invested the time to sit down with five different programs in our department and really go through to the point where I can draw a picture and they can say, yes, this really is what I do. And then later I can take that picture and lay it out next to two other programs and they can look at it and say, wow, we really do have some things that we do that are very similar to each other, and maybe we could start coordinating and consolidating our efforts. So for me, it's an extremely important tool that gets used to very different degrees of absolute informality to producing documents that can be used to support business cases, business plans, funding strategies, and things like that. So there's a range of those. What have I called it? I've been using this tool in one form or another for the last 30 years. I've called it process reengineering. I've called it need identification, workflow, quality improvement workflow mapping, interface diagrams. Pretty much I'll call it anything that'll get it across to somebody. And so if I'm talking to somebody and say, oh, you mean, I say, sure, that's what I mean. And I add it to my list of things that I'll call it. Because honestly, it's about communication. It's about connecting people and their thoughts and their ideas in ways that they can relate across the various kinds of professional work-related languages or silos of thinking or priorities or a whole range of other kinds of things. And I find it very useful to bridge all those gaps. I'm going to hope that you take away from this a kind of thought that maybe this micro experience at a local health department has relevance to our national discussions. What do we use it for? We've used it for strategic planning, for guidance, for building business plans or making a business case, to identify needs, to develop requirements, to evaluate solutions, to improve our effectiveness and efficiencies, to actually do a significant process reengineering of a whole program or a whole area of programs, to do program planning, to consolidate programs. If we get a budget cut and it's in the health promotion area and we need to somehow figure out how we're going to keep the injury program and the tobacco program going, we may need to sit down and figure out what can we collaboratively do that supports both programs and allows them to continue to go on. And again, most importantly, it can be a baseline for coordination and exchange of information. So, kind of in summary, I just tried to look at that whole laundry list and say, okay, what does this mean? You know, again, it's a communication and negotiating tool. It's extremely useful for documentation for the future. If I document what it looks like today, 5 years from now, somebody can pick it up and at least get a baseline of what it looked like 5 years ago to compare it to something else. It is a powerful source of information for requirement documents and implementation plans. When a vendor comes in to implement software and I can hand him a set of flowcharts that describe what we do, you wouldn't believe how happy they become. It really facilitates our communication with them. We're not ending up with discussions of, well, so-and-so told me you do it this way and so-and-so, because we've all got a standard thing we work from. For quality control and improvement. And the last one, I find that when I've talked to people, it doesn't come up. It improves staff competencies, especially around informatics. I regard it as the building block of informatics competencies in the department. Because our approach is very frontline staff-centered, we start with them from the very beginning. In some of our areas, like we just implemented in 2009 an electronic medical record, every person in that division, from the support staff all the way up to the division manager, could sit down and draw a rough flow chart of their work. Maybe on paper, doesn't use any. They know how to read them, and they can actually sit down and draw them. To me, that's a core competency, because it means, among other things, they are beginning to understand how the data flows. Now, they may not call it that. They may not say, I know how the data flows and I know where this, but ultimately they do. They know, here's what I do, here's where what I do moves on to the nurse, here's what the nurse does and how it moves on to the doctor. So whether they call it that or not, they've actually got a fundamental understanding. So when I go back to them and or they call up and they say, well, I need a report on such and such, I can actually say to them, tell me what information you're entering that will answer that question, and then we'll develop a report. But that can only happen if they actually understand how that information is kind of flowing through the record. Nowadays, when some of them come forward with an idea, they'll actually come forward and say, you know, I sat down with these five people that do this, and here's how we think this flowchart can be tweaked, and they bring their new one. Here's the old one, and they bring their new one and say, we think that this could be improved this way. This is being generated at the frontline level. And I think it's more of a, I don't think I started out with that as an intended consequence, but I'm recognizing that it's a very important benefit of a consistent approach. I just wanted to give you some examples of kind of how this plays out, and please don't try to read this whole thing, but this, for example, is a workflow for water well permits in our environmental health system. When we started out, the staff thought each one of their programs was absolutely unique. We had to develop it around. There were no commonalities because, you know, here we issue the permit at the time they apply before we do an inspection. Here we have to do an inspection first. You know, there's all these series of steps. But as the staff started working through it and working with them, they discovered that where that orange is, as an example of a common function, the way the money comes in, gets handled by the business office, gets deposited and gets recorded, is the same. And so now that piece is just plopped into every single one of them. And it's the systems, or the pieces of the systems and the workflow in the information system are treated the same way. So we don't go out and redesign that every single time. It's just a series of steps that gets copied from here and it gets plopped over here. You get there, or we got there, by doing this kind of work. This one, and again, you aren't going to see a lot, but I kind of alluded to it. This is what we do in our public health clinic. Every single one of those rows represents a different part of that clinic. Every single one of those rows has staff who are dedicated to making sure that they have exactly what they need to support their workflow. And in the past, when you looked at it, every single one of them operated differently from the beginning to an end. So the support staff, when somebody checked in, had 50 or 60 different intake forms that they used depending on which program somebody came in for. We went through, and this represents kind of a, after you've gone through and summarized what everyone does in detail and analyze it and present it, this has then become the tool that the managers and the staff use to say, okay, support staff are working kind of in this first quadrant. They're checking people in. Look at all these commonalities. And we have basically a single check-in process. We have some drop-downs so they can indicate which program they come in for. We have some forms that the system can automatically populate that enable us to do the reporting we need, but the process is the same. How we move somebody from the waiting room to the back where somebody's going to see them, again, that was something that could be more standardized across the division. But a visual like this really, really began to help them see how they could do some of that. This is a workflow that crosses divisions within the department. So you have the business office who receives deliveries of medications. You have the nurses that distribute them. You have another set of nursing program people that identify the clients and do the application for getting the prescription assistance. And you have another set of nurses who receives them, checks them in, and then checks them out to the clients. All of that is now consolidated and integrated in our EMR so that we can track that process. In finishing, I want to give you my perspective on what I see going on in the national level, and you're going to hear more about it, and also what I see is the value of the range of things. Just like in a local health department, the national level, there is a great need to really understand what the business processes are for the people that do the work. So understanding what the business processes of local health department are, and that's plural processes, is a critical building block to many other things. I have always seen that a number of the initiatives from the Public Health Informatics Institute are creating a lot of knowledge about that. I'm hoping with some of their new initiatives in this past year and going on in the future, we're going to actually fill in the gaps that still exist so that there's an actual knowledge base that represents some collaborative and collective thinking among local health departments that describes what their work is. And that information then is information that can inform the work that's being done to develop standards, to develop strategies for organizing and profiling the information so that vendors can make better use of it. And that's part of what you're going to hear is examples as we go through, as you hear each one of the speakers.